For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And so he came, our Lord came. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the babe born in a manger grew and fulfilled all righteousness. And it's through faith in him that we are reconciled to God. And so our catechism question concerns that and even points to our Christmas message we'll have in just a few moments. I'll read question 86. Let's answer it together. What is faith in Jesus Christ? Faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation as he is offered to us in the gospel. Matthew, so turn in your Bible to Matthew 1. Those with us yesterday heard a whole sermon from the genealogy of Jesus as Matthew gives it, and really, we could do a whole series of sermons from all the stories that the genealogy brings. But today, on Christmas Day, we continue in Matthew 1 with verse 18 to 25. As having given his thesis statement at the beginning, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, he then, in 18 to 25, gives us his telling of the story of Jesus' birth. So that's where I'll read verse 18 to the end of the chapter. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we consider very familiar words, a familiar story this morning, grant us clearer understanding and fresh application of these words. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do you know what your name means? I know as we had our children, we had a name book, and although we ended up giving up really all of them except one, family names, we did study names. My given name, Joseph, means and the Lord shall add. Now, in our day, we don't tend to give names based on their meaning. Although sometimes we'll look at them and we'll see sort of what the Lord does with that meaning. We do have nicknames. You know, a person who can round the bases really quickly may come to be known as Speedy. Or the one who throws those fastballs with his left hand may come to be known as Lefty. So we do have nicknames. But in biblical times, they would give a name, and the child, as he grew, was expected to fulfill that name. We're going to get to that in a moment, toward the end of the sermon, what Jesus' name means. But as Matthew gives us his version of the story of Jesus' birth, and it appears, by the way, the Gospels, this was a new literature at the time, and we have four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It appears Mark was probably written first, with a lot of information given by Peter. And then it seems that probably Matthew here did a little more research. Of course, he walked with Jesus as one of his disciples. And having given us the genealogy, he just picks up right in the middle of the birth narrative. Now, Luke's going to go back and give us some background, but Matthew just tells us right here in the middle, Mary, this woman Mary, was betrothed to Joseph. Now, betrothal, though not marriage, was legally binding. In our day, it's a sense like courtship, but a bit stronger, binding. In a sense, it would take a divorce for those betrothed to be separated. And we're told, of course, Matthew having some background knowledge, that Mary is with child. And Matthew knows, and he's telling us as the reader or those who first heard it, this is a conception by the Holy Spirit, and that's in verse 18. But you get to verse 19 and you realize that Joseph did not yet know this. He knows that this woman to whom he is betrothed is with child. Now, Matthew makes clear, and again we'll get to this as we continue through the story, but we see we have an ordinary, faithful couple. Faithful covenant, ordinary by that, I mean ordinary just like us, just regular people. God has chosen them for this special purpose. But faithful, members of the covenant community. And so Joseph, here he is, he's betrothed, and is the one to whom he's betrothed is with child. And so what are they going to do? Now, Luke gives us more of Mary's perspective. Matthew, you might say, gives us more of Joseph's perspective. But let's just say here, as we're setting up the story, this young couple, they're going to get married. In God's providence, their dreams, their plans, and they're real people. They had dreams and plans. Their dreams and plans becomes clear, subsumed under the Lord's plans. And so they must respond and deal with this. And so, again, as Matthew tells us, he tells us how then the Lord deals with Joseph and then how this begins to play out. Well, I want us to think about some things that this very simple story, again, that we've heard so many times, might, some fundamental principles of it that can teach us and then apply to us. Well, let's think first about the fact that this is a supernatural birth. Obviously, it's a supernatural conception. But we have here a supernatural birth. We're going to see also we have a faithful father and a promised savior. But let's think for a moment, this supernatural birth. Mary is with child, we're told, from the Holy Spirit, verse 18. And in the short amount of verses, he really concentrates on this. Because he tells us again in verse 20. Again, though, this comes into the part where we're going to get into how Joseph was going to be expected to deal with this, but the angel tells Joseph, again, the end of verse 20, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So Matthew tells us, with child from the Holy Spirit, then the angel tells Joseph, with child from the Holy Spirit, and then we're even given more information, taking us back into the old covenant times, the Old Testament times, verse 23, we're told, in fact, this is a fulfillment of something. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The birth of our Lord is the work of the Holy. The conception and the birth of our Lord, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is a supernatural birth. In fact, that we see the Trinity, the involvement of the Trinity, that doctrine that's so important to us that we really don't think about as much as we ought. The Father has deemed the fullness of time has come. It's time to put this plan from eternity past into action. And so the Son, submitting to what the Father has called him to do, we can't even totally conceive of it, leaves on some level the glories of heaven and inhabits the womb of the Virgin Mary, and of course it's the Holy Spirit who, we're told, brings this supernatural conception and then what will be a supernatural birth to pass. Jesus is fully God and fully man. He's fully God, the God who brought about this, the coming of the promised Savior as a babe born in a manger, as Luke would tell us. He's the God of all power. Do you need God's power this Christmas morning? You have it. This is the God of all power, omnipotent, a God who can meet our every need and is pleased to do so. Jesus is fully God. He has all the power of God at his disposal, all the wisdom, holiness, justice, goodness, truth. He's God. The other wonder of this supernatural birth, though, is that he's fully man. He was born of the Virgin Mary, a woman, born under the law, fulfilled the law on our behalf, as was just acknowledged in prayer. Do you need comfort this Christmas morning? Jesus can comfort you. He understands. Because he's fully man. He can sympathize with you. If you're having a joyful Christmas morning, he will rejoice with you. If you're sad or in pain or have needs that just you so want him to be met, he understands. This is a supernatural birth of our Lord. He's fully God. He's fully man. He's just the kind of Savior we need. Came at just the right time. And he's here with us today. It was a supernatural birth. But there's also something I want us to think about just for a moment here that we don't all often think about, and that's Joseph. I'm not talking about our Father in heaven. When I say a faithful Father, I'm talking about Joseph. The Lord saw fit, the Father saw fit to place his son into the home of a faithful father. Jesus, as we discussed, we'll begin to discuss it yesterday, those who are here. And we're going to, he was a son on earth, the earthly son of Joseph. Now again, we're told from Joseph's perspective here, he could have, finding out that Mary was with child, he could have just divorced her. It could have been a big scene, and she could have been brought great shame and humiliation. But we're told, no, He's a just man. He said, you know what? I thought Mary was this person that, you know, he thinks back. And again, these are real people. And so he says, you know, he's a just man. I'll just quietly end this and we'll go our separate ways. But it says, as he considered these things, he's being thoughtful. He's being prayerful. He's thinking on these things. May I suggest he's saying, Lord, how do I handle this? I'm reading that in there. And so the Lord answers him profoundly in a dream from an angel. And he says, don't fear. Don't fear. No matter what everyone else is going to think, and we know they continued to think this, Jesus as an adult was called an illegitimate child. Don't worry about what they think. You listen to me. Faithful son, you marry Mary. Because, yes, as remarkable as it is, this child is from the Holy Spirit. All these generations and generations and generations and generations have passed since the promise was made, and now that seed, Abraham's seed, singular, is now conceived in by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. And so Joseph does obedient. He's obedient. He takes her as his wife. he has compassion. He's obedient. He trusts in the Lord with all his heart, does not lean on his own understanding. In all his ways, he's acknowledging him, and God is directing his path. As Isaiah describes the one who trusts in the Lord, at the end of a passage that alludes to the coming even of Christ, in Isaiah 40, they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And so the Lord is doing this through this faithful man. I don't think Joseph gets enough credit. You know, it appears by the time Jesus' adult ministry begins, Joseph's gone on to his reward in heaven. But I would remind you, Jesus is, when Joseph gives him that name, again, the angel even told him the name. Here's what you're going to name this child. You're going to name him Jesus. When he names him, he adopts him. And so Jesus indeed has a faithful father on this earth. And we're told, aren't we, in Luke, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So he raised him according to God's word and the covenant community amongst covenant, faithful covenant life. Don't forget about Joseph, Jesus' faithful earthly father, and that God saw fit to put him in that family. We have a supernatural birth, a faithful father, but we do have that name. He said, give him the name Jesus or Yeshua or Joshua. The Lord is salvation. Because this name's going to mean something. This babe in the womb of the virgin is the coming one. In fact, he's not just Yahweh is salvation, but he's the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, Emmanuel. He's God with us. God is at work. All the promises are coming true, and they're all finding they're going to find their yes and amen right here in this child, this baby, who then will grow and will see all that God has planned for him. He is the promised Savior to save Israel from Rome. That's not actually what it says. Call him Jesus because he's going to save us from Rome. No, he's going to save us from all the earthly afflictions that this life brings. No, he's not going to save us from the earthly afflictions this life brings. He will bring comfort. And he'll walk you through them, but he doesn't come to save us from that. Does he come to save us from evil men? No, he doesn't come to save us from evil men, though he will grant you wisdom and perseverance to deal with evil men. No. Name him Jesus, verse 21, for he will save his people from their sins. Boy, that's the Christmas gift that we need today. Save us from our sins. We have a promised Savior. This promised Savior would save us from the penalty and punishment of sin. Isaiah said he'd be crushed for our iniquities. On the cross, he received the wrath that our sins deserve. Save us from our sins, from the guilt. Washed in his blood, our consciences are clean. You know that? You have a clean conscience washed in Christ's blood this morning. So we can love God as we ought and love one another. The guilt is washed away. We don't have to, if you're carrying guilt this morning, take it to the cross. He saved us from the guilt of sin. He saved us from the dominion of sin, the power of sin. This same Holy Spirit, mentioned at least twice in this passage, is the same Holy Spirit that comes to dwell with you, Emmanuel, God with you, sanctifying you, giving you the power to say no to sin, the power today to forgive the person who needs forgiving on Christmas, the power to keep pressing forward, one foot in front of the other, whatever Christmas pasts might have brought, the power to say yes to Christ. In saving us from sin, he saves us with his or into his presence. Right now we have that presence of the Holy Spirit within us, and we will forevermore be in his presence, even as he would tell the thief on the cross that day, today you will be with me in paradise. So we're saved from the power of sin now. Ultimately, we'll be saved from the presence of sin. And also we're saved from the consequences of sin. When Jesus returns in his second advent, with that clean conscience, with the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, we then receive our reward. There's no fear at his second coming because we've been saved from our sins by Emmanuel, God with us. And so let's just simply ask, what will we do with him this morning? With Emmanuel, God with us, with Yeshua, the one who is salvation. God with us. God with us is to save us and bless us, all those who would submit our lives to him. God with us is the one who brings us to repentance. The very one we've sinned against is the one we run to, who receives us. Because he's borne our sins in his body on the tree and he gives us his righteousness. For all who receive him, this is great news. For those who reject him, it's judgment and condemnation. But for those who receive him, who receive Emmanuel as a gift, not as a little statuette, an amusing Christmas relic, but a real person, fully God, fully man, born, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, and buried, who rose again. All who receive him, God with us, is the greatest news. And so let's renew again our love for the Lord, our commitment to the Lord. Let's submit our Christmas plans this day to him. Let's submit our emotions, our hearts, our service to the one true God. There's one name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved, Jesus. Call on him and be saved. Live by faith in him, the one who loved us, gave himself for us, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. We thank you, O Father, for telling us the story of our Savior, the old, old story. Let it never become stale, but let it always be fresh in our hearts, the story of Jesus and his love. We pray in his name. Amen. Lord, now you are letting your servants depart in peace, according to your word. For our eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Amen and amen.